If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Hudson Mohawk Magazine on WOOC 105.3 FM. Today we have Ed McDonough, who's the Democratic Commissioner for the Rensselaer County Board of Elections. Ed joins us tonight to help us understand what happened in Troy's District 2 City Council race, which came down to a single vote. Thank you for joining us, Ed.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So you're the Democratic Commissioner for the Rensselaer County Board of Elections, and there's also a Republican Commissioner, Larry Bugbee. Why do the two dominant parties have their own commissioner? And do you think it's a good idea for smaller parties to have a commissioner as well?
Well, the New York State Legislature was responsible for creating the Board of Elections. And they felt at the time that the two parties that were in control, the top two, meaning in this case the Democratic and the Republican parties, would be best to represent. It's all based on the results of the gubernatorial election, which determines who the top two parties are. When it comes to minor parties having commissioners, I don't know if I would agree that it would be best for that to happen, because a lot of the minor parties seem to come and go. They might be around for maybe 4 years, 8 years, and then they don't receive the amount of votes which requires them to become or to stay a constituted party. So I think there would be a lot of changeover, which is very difficult when you're doing this kind of job, to continually have somebody changing and learning their roles.
What's the role of the Board of Elections commissioners? What is that they do, and how do you get the job of doing it?
Well, to get the job, you have to be chosen by your party. So I'm chosen every 4 years at a meeting of the Rensselaer County Democratic Committee. My counterpart, Larry Bugbee, would be the same with the Republican Party. Once we are selected, we then our names are submitted to the county legislature for approval, and then we take our position. Our role is many. As supervisor of our staff, We currently have 10 employees at the Board of Elections. We also have part-time employees, election inspectors. We have over 400 election inspectors that we're in charge of hiring, training. We have machine custodians who program the machines, deliver the machines. We do everything that you could think of when it comes to running for office.
You just said you had 400 election inspectors?
Correct.
Is that a one-day job, or is it a multi-day job?
It can be a one-day job, depending. Well, this year's a prime example. We will be having a special election for the 107th Assembly District. So we will have a primary where inspectors will work that day. We also have a June congressional primary, as well as our normal September primary and then the November election. So an inspector could actually be working four times this year.
Oh. I myself worked for the very first time in the election. I was over at the Rensselaer County office building.
Yes, that's my office. Yes, correct.
So I think we'd like to talk a little bit about the District 2 City Council race, which Absolutely. Was kind of remarkably close race, came down to a single vote, which to me, and I think to a lot of people, demonstrates the importance of and the meaning of participating in local democracy, that really one person can make a difference. So we'd like to talk a little bit more about how that election planned out. So could you just, for the listeners who don't know, give us the basics of what happened?
I want to make sure. Tell us where District 2 is.
District 2 is the election districts 7 through 10 in the city of Troy, predominantly north central and the southern portion of Lansingburg. Yes, you're right. In this case, we had a five-time incumbent, Councilman Mark McGrath, being challenged by Ms. Cindy Barkley. There were two races actually decided by one vote. In September, Ms. Barkley challenged Mr. McGrath on the independence line as a write-in. She was defeated by a vote of 16 to 15. So once again, that one vote came into place. Fast forward to November. the results ultimately were a one-vote loss for Ms. Barkley or a one-vote victory for Mr. McGrath, whatever way you wanted to look at it. But it was more of a roller coaster ride. On the night of the election, when the polls closed, our first numbers indicated that Ms. Barkley was down by 13 votes. We had a situation at the polling location, the Knickerbocker Ice Rink, where everybody in the second council district votes. There were ballots that did not go in the machine, so they were classified as emergency ballots. We had to count those the next day. After counting those, Ms. Barkley picked up a +4 margin. So now, on election night being down 13, the next day she was down by 9 votes. 2 days later, we opened up the absentee ballots. There was some back and forth. There were some objections. We ultimately opened all but 6 of the absentee ballots, of which Ms. Barkley gained 10, which put her up by 1 vote. The 6 objections, 3 by attorneys representing Mr. McGrath, 3 by attorneys representing Ms. Barkley. After some discussion, the Mr. McGrath's attorneys dropped their objections to the 3 ballots. At that time, we opened the 3 ballots, and Ms. Barkley picked up 2 of the 3, so she gained another vote. So ultimately, she was up by 2 votes going into the last 3, where at that point, Ms. Barkley felt very strongly that those ballots did not meet the requirements to be opened. For one reason or another. She filed a lawsuit, which brought us to Supreme Court. Ultimately, Judge Gerald Connolly decided after a 3-day hearing that the ballots would be opened. We did open those ballots, and Mr. McGrath received all 3, and resulting in his 1 vote.
I mean, what is it about a vote that makes it objectionable, or what were these details of this absentee ballot that were debatable that decided whether or not it would be counted?
Well, it just so happened Ms. Barkley, in her outside job, works in apartment buildings, and the 1 ballot was objected to because she had never seen this person on the lease. She'd never. And she was the manager of this building. So that was one of the reasons that she objected to it. The other was an issue where the 2 people were members of the military. The question was not whether they were allowed to vote, because certainly they were. It was whether or not they were allowed to vote from the residence that they claimed. And ultimately, the judge decided that their vote would be counted.
One of the questions that occurs to me is that of an election decided by 1 vote seems to me to hardly be a mandate from the public. What were the? I mean, that's a divisive sort of situation when there's only 1 vote. So how do you? 2 questions, I guess. What was the dividing issue here? And also, or what were the dividing issues in this election? And also, how does a person who's only received the majority by such a small margin go about entering a government position?
Well, it's hard when you're running for a lower leveled office like a council position. It's more so a popularity contest. You know, the people in the second district had known Mr. McGrath. Like I said, he had been there for 10 years as an elected representative. He had a track record of what he was able to do for the residents in the second council district. Ms. Barkley, being new to the election process, it was more getting out, meeting people in the community, knocking on the doors and trying to explain what she felt she could do to make their neighborhoods a better place to live. And so when it comes down to lower levels, and I'm not trying to say lower levels, but, you know, not something like a mayor or a county executive or so on and so forth, it's more how many people you get to knock on their door to express your platform and to get them to believe that you'll be the right person to make decisions on their behalf.
You need to recognize, too, that when you talk about a mandate, that really means that you have large support. And elections are always, you know, 1 or 2. You know, 1 person wins, 1 person doesn't.
Oh, absolutely. And in this case, if you look at the numbers, and once again, it was a one-vote margin, but actually 54 people who walked into the polling location that day decided not to vote for that race. And now when you look at the end result being won, you know, you really scratch your head and say, boy, if anybody had decided, you know, I am going to go down the ballot and vote for my council representative, you know, we could have a different representative, or it could have been a larger margin of victory. Who's to know?
So you by saying 54 people decided not to vote, they voted for something, they voted for other categories.
Correct.
They just didn't vote in that category.
That's correct.
How important are the city council positions? You know, how does it affect people's daily lives? In Troy, neighboring cities?
Well, it's a checks and balance. Mm-hmm. It's a checks and balance to make sure that, in this case, the mayor, what he's doing, you know, I don't know what the best terminology would be, just to make sure what he's planning on doing at least has the, in this case, you've got six council district representatives as well as the one at large president. So you now have seven people representing small communities to say, hey, I don't necessarily think what you're doing is going to affect my constituents, where in a positive way, where maybe somebody in the southern or northern district or central district might have a different opinion. So you've got seven different people that are basically supervising him to make sure that what he plans on implementing passes, I guess, the smell test, so to speak.
Yeah. I've been voting in the Troy elections for about 45 years now, so I know that there have been decades when people of different parties were very cooperative. And I think we're right now at a point where cooperation is always, you have to negotiate your cooperation a great deal now. So from my viewpoint, yeah, it's really important who gets in. Yeah. But I wondered if you thought this year there was more activity in running for election.
Unfortunately, no. And I still can't put my finger on it. And I've been here at the Board of Elections for now entering my 28th year. And, you know, people, they register to vote. It's their civic duty to do so, but it's getting them to go to the polls. Prime example, once again, going back to the second district, only 27% of the registered people in that district came out and voted. 27%, it's very sad. In comparison to a presidential or a gubernatorial, where last year in the Trump-Clinton race, 75% came out and voted. You know, I understand it's president or it's governor and it's a high office, but these are the people that really are ultimately working on your behalf. And even in the mayoral years, the numbers are very low, maybe 35 to 40%, which is sad. Now, why that is, I guess, is the question that nobody seems to have the answer.
Do you have ideas? Always been like that?
Statistically, yes. Unfortunately, when it comes to localized races, the numbers drop drastically.
Do you have ideas about why the turnout rate is so low or how that could be improved?
You know, I really don't. I mean, I guess the first thing you would think of is the youth, you know, making sure that people, when they are, they turn the age of 18, that they are reminded that they can register to vote, that they can be a part of who is going to be talking on their behalf as an elected official. It's important, but unless there's some specific person, and I guess I can look back to when President Obama ran for the first time, it was people were coming from all over to register and to make sure not just to register, but to follow through and vote. They believed in what he said as a person. And I just don't know if people turned off by politics in general, or they just haven't found that person that's ignited them to really come out and rally to cast a vote.
So we only have a couple of minutes left. Maybe in that couple of minutes you can talk about if someone did want to register to vote, how they could do that, and then you know where the polling places are, and also maybe if someone wanted to run for office, how they would go about doing that.
Absolutely. Well, the first thing I would recommend always would be to contact our office at the Rensselaer County Board of Elections. Our main number is area code 518-270-2990. We have our website, which is www.rensco.com. When you were get on that website, you would hit departments, hit elections, and when you go onto our page, there are numerous forms, registration forms, absentee ballot applications. We have a guide for running for office, which is available online as well as in our office. So I would always recommend coming into us. We could sort of direct you as to where you should go and what to do. Polling locations throughout the city are also located on the website as well.
So how does somebody do absentee voting? What circumstance?
Well, nowadays, it's changed. If you believe that you're not going to be, I'll use an example. I'm a truck driver, and I believe I'm going to be in Montana. So it's my right to vote. I fill out an application. If the day of the election comes and I'm not in Montana, I have the right to go to the polls and vote. We just wouldn't count your absentee ballot. But if, it's more work-related, it can be health-related. There's numerous reasons that somebody would qualify for an absentee ballot.
I'm afraid that's all the time we have for this today, but thank you so much for joining us, Ed.
No, thank you for having me.
That was Ed McDonough, the Democratic Commissioner for the Rensselaer County Board of Elections, sharing with us the details of Troy's District 2 City Council race, which came down to a single vote and was ultimately decided by the courts, as well as some local politics basics.